Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm reading from Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. I've entitled this message, Gethsemane. Now, I've got an unusual way of introducing this message. I'm going to give a personal incident. I think you'll see why I give this. Not long ago, I was having lunch with a preacher who deems himself to be a theologian. And it was a discussion about some things with regard to what the Scripture teaches, what I taught, what he taught. And he said something during the course of this conversation that I just could not agree with. It was too important to remain silent about it, and I expressed my disagreement with what he was saying, and he was offended, and he made this statement to me, "You're so obtuse." And I knew that wasn't good, and I wasn't sure what it meant. So when I got back to the car, I asked Siri, "What does obtuse mean?" And here is Siri's definition: dull and slow, annoyingly insensitive, slow to understand. Now, that is what this man said of me. I made the mistake of telling my wife that he said this, and I've heard, I think, every day since then, "You are obtuse." But dull and insensitive, I certainly feel that's an accurate description of myself. Slow to understand when we deal with what might be the most amazing passage of Scripture in all of the Word of God, Gethsemane. Gethsemane. Now, that was the name of the garden where the Lord sweat great drops of blood. Being sore amazed, the Scripture says, and very heavy. Remember, this is the Son of God. And listen to these words from Mark chapter 14. "And he went forward a little and fell on the ground, the Son of God falling on his face, prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Not what I will, but what thou wilt.'" The Garden of Gethsemane was a place that he went to often with his disciples. Gethsemane means oil press. There was an oil press in this garden to crush olives to get the precious oil. It was a place, as I said, he oft resorted, the Scripture says, with his disciples. And it was a very cold night that night, because we read of that very night of men warming themselves by the fire. It was so cold they felt a need to have a fire going. You see, his hour had come. Now, let me repeat that. His hour had come. Now, this hour was decreed before time began, before the creation of the world. The world was created for this hour. His hour had come. Early in his public ministry, he said to his mother, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come." They sought to lay hands upon him, but his hour was not yet come. No man laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. I'm quoting scriptures at this time. He said in John 12, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I in to this hour." Father, he said in John 17, 1, "The hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also might glorify thee." This was his reason for coming. This hour. Now, he could have came in the flesh and kept the law perfectly and gone back to heaven, and it wouldn't do you and I any good at all. He came for this hour. He's called in Revelation 13, 8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, what point in his humanity was he conscious of this? You know, it said the Lord grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He was born a perfect man, but he had the limitations of the flesh. At what point in his human history was he conscious of this hour? Well, I know this. When he was a 12-year-old boy, he must have been, because he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" All of his life, he was conscious that this hour was coming. Now, he said in Luke chapter 12, verse 50, "I have a baptism to be baptized with." He said this during his public ministry to his disciples. "I have a baptism to be baptized with." Now, he'd already gone through water baptism. What he was talking about was being immersed in the wrath of God as the sinner's substitute. "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how is my soul straitened until it be accomplished?" His hour. The hour has come. Now, in verse 32 of Mark chapter 14, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray." He was going to Gethsemane to pray. "And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and very heavy." Now, remember who this is. This is the Son of God. And that word "sore amazed" means in a state of shock, seized with terror and very heavy. These were the emotions of God the Son at this time. Now, what could bring this on him who is God in the flesh, where he would be sore amazed and very heavy? Verse 35, "And he went forward a little and fell on the ground." He's by himself at this time. "My soul is exceeding sorrowful," he says, "even unto death." Now, the Lord at this time was saying, "I'm at the verge of death." Now, he hadn't gone to the cross yet. Yet he says to his disciples, "I am at the verge of death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and pray that if it were possible, this cup might pass from him. Now Luke says at this time he was in agony and prayed more earnestly. And at this time his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. Now remember, this was a cold night, but here he is sweating great drops of blood. This is a real condition called hematidrosis, when the capillaries in the sweat glands burst. And when you sweat, blood comes out with it, and it's brought on by extreme anguish. Now Luke also tells us that at this time an angel from heaven came down and strengthened him. He was at the point of death. And it didn't have anything to do at this time with the physical pain. That's so important. He had not been nailed to the cross as yet. But he was at the point of death. And the Father sent angels to strengthen him, to cause his humanity to be continued. He fell on his face. Now, what was the subject of his prayer? And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. You see, the hour had come for the Lamb who was slain in eternity to be slain in time. This is the purpose for creation, for this to take place. And when the Lord saw what was beginning to take place, he began to sweat great drops of blood. In verse 36 of Mark chapter 14, he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me." What is the contents of this cup that he asked the Father to remove? Peter made the statement, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body." Not simply the guilt of sin, not the punishment of sin, but the sins themselves. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." The contents of that cup was sin. The sins of God's elect. And that is what made the Son of God sore, amazed, and very heavy. That's what caused him to sweat great drops of blood, knowing he was to drink the contents of that cup and be made sin. "You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see him bear the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of God and Son of man." Now, the reason you and I can hear of this and have such little understanding is because we know sin so well. You see, we were born sinners, and sin is as natural to us as it is to breathe. The Scripture says, man drinketh iniquity like water. We don't really much understand what sin is. That's why we ask questions like, why is hell eternal? As if God is too severe in making hell eternal. The only reason we would ask that question is because we don't understand the infinite evil of sin. It's against an infinite God, and what you and I have been guilty of is the murder of His dear Son. You would have done it. I would have done it. This was all humanity putting to death the Son of God. Why is hell eternal? Because the people in hell are never reformed. They're just as bad, they're just as evil, they're just as hate, have just as much hate for God as they always did. But this one who drank this cup is Him who is holy. He knew no sin. He saw the evil of sin to be so great that He would rather die and be forsaken by God than let one sin go unpunished. But the thought of being made sin by His Father. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." When He saw the content of this cup that He was called upon to drink, He was overcome with terror. The thought of being made the thing that His holy Father hates. You see, sin, I repeat, doesn't bother us much. We're used to it. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And the thought of drinking the cup, He was overcome. And that's why He prayed three times, "Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou be done." Three times He prayed that prayer using the same words. Now, this hour, drinking this cup, had been decreed by the Father before time began. When Christ agreed to be the surety of those the Father gave Him and take full responsibility for their salvation, He knew this was the cost. He knew He was going to have to drink this cup. He knew He was going to have to be forsaken by His Father. And throughout His earthly ministry, I don't know at what age He became aware of this, but He knew this was what was coming. Him drinking of this cup and being made sin. It wasn't the fear of the physical pain, and I would not in any way diminish the fear of the physical pain, the thought of being nailed to a cross, but when He was sore amazed and in terror, it was before any of that took place. It was the thought of drinking the contents of that cup and being made sin. Now, in John chapter 17, verse 1, He said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also might glorify Thee." You see, He knew this was for the salvation of His people. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, Jesus knowing that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world. He loved them to the end. And with all that in mind, the thought of drinking the contents of that cup and being made sin and being forsaken by His Father, He was overcome at the horror of all of that. His human nature was overcome, and he required angels to come and strengthen him to keep him from dying even then. Now, I've got a question. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Here's my question. Was it possible? Think about that. Was it possible? Well, first, if he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, he must come and be slain in time. This is the Father's purpose. This is the Father's decree. You see, what he was doing in this hour is manifesting who God is in all of his attributes. He was letting us know who man is in all of his sinfulness. And he was showing us the way of salvation. He is the way of salvation. No, it was not possible. This was God's eternal purpose. The scripture says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken with wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Now, for God to be glorified and every attribute of God honored, it wasn't possible. Secondly, if you and I are to be saved, it was not possible. Because there is no other way of salvation. The only way of salvation is the Lamb for sinners slain. He must be forsaken by his Father. He must drink the contents of that cup. And we read in John's account, in John chapter 18, after he left Gethsemane, or right before his arrest, when Judas and the band came to arrest him, you'll remember that Peter took a sword and tried to cut off a man's head. The man ducked and he cut off his ear. And the Lord healed that man. He told Peter to put your sword into your sheath. And then he made this statement, the cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? Yes, he shall. And he drank the content of that cup. He drank the dregs of the content of that cup completely dry. And he bowed his mighty head and said, it is finished. You know what was finished? Sin. Now, the first sin came in a garden, Adam and Eve, and in Gethsemane's garden, this is where sin began to be put away. He drank the contents of that cup. He was made sin. When he died on Calvary's tree, he did not die as an innocent victim. You see, those sins became his sins when he bore those sins in his own body on the tree. And God forsook him because that is exactly what he deserved. Now, there's something totally different, though, about this man. Remember, he's the man who knew no sin. And the moment he died, all that sin was put away. It was made not to be. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. Everybody he died for, the moment he died, they were justified in God's sight, without guilt, sinless, perfect. That's what he did in drinking that, the content of that cup, the sin. He put it away. Listen to this scripture, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, just as truly as He took my sin and my sorrow and made it His very own, He takes His righteousness and He makes it my very own, so I stand before God without guilt. Now, I would like to close by reading the writer to the Hebrews account of what took place in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. And this is speaking of Gethsemane, who in the days of his flesh, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard in that he feared. Oh, how he feared his Father, a fear of perfect reverence. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Now here is how he trusted his Father. His Father said, go drink that cup and be nailed to a cross and die. And his answer was, yes, Father. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, and being made perfect. You see, when he was raised from the dead, he was raised with all that sin having been put away. He was made perfect. And everybody in him was made perfect, because Hebrews 10:14 says, by one offering, by his death on Calvary's tree, when he drank that cup and was made sin and was nailed to that cross, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Now, this is a salvation that's eternal. It never had a beginning. It took place before time began, and it will never have an ending because it is eternal. He became the author, the cause of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, who obey the command, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you look to him only as all in your salvation and rest in him, you've obeyed the gospel. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write, or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.